Show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. Why would we want to do this? Well, my intent is so we can enjoy a global loving community. So get ready to have a fabulous addition to your lives in the next hour. How would you like to give yourself an amazing spiritual pilgrimage in the next hour? And if you could go even further and deepen that spiritual pilgrimage, if you could do that for $20, would that be a fabulous arrangement? I mean, to me, I would say spiritual pilgrimage, $20, that's too good to be true. And usually you'd be right. But with today's guest, Leslie Fenner, get ready for a wonderful, wonderful treat. Leslie is a former business leader and had worked in the corporate world for over 20 years, working with large multinational corporations and emerging technology companies in the United States, Canada, Europe. I mean, this is a lot of powerful experience, global experience. And she was holding senior management positions, and she consistently led sales teams to achieving peak performance, exceeding sales targets by over 200%. I mean, when you more than double what you're going for, that's big. And she had done this at some high levels, like with Motorola, Ballard Power, Galaxy Telecom, and others. Yes, her visionary leadership and heightened awareness has emerged after more than a decade of tenacious dedication. I mean, this takes work, folks. Tenacious dedication to solid business practices and disciplined study of Eastern practices of mindfulness and meditation. Now, she was guided by the instructions of her Eastern teacher, get this, to her expansion, which led her to actually leaving the corporate world at the peak of her career to move to Bhutan, I hope I'm saying that correctly, where she lived in a monastery and taught English to the Buddhist monks. Now, having emerged from the Himalayas with these new insights and awarenesses, that she was led to write her book, Glimpses of Light. Oh, what a spiritual pilgrimage you folks are in for when you get her book. And this book is available in book and CD formats. She's also currently working in the corporate world as a motivational speaker, seminar leader, and inspirational advisor. Basically, what does she do? Well, get ready. She leads others to ignite their own inner light, to a heightening of their awareness, both of themselves and the world around them, and to uncovering the mystery, the blind spots that prohibit us you folks, all of us, from living their best lives. And on the tenderness of her heart, she's on the board of directors of the Lotus Outreach Society of Canada. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the education and living conditions of vulnerable women and children in the impoverished countries. And sadly, with our economic system, there's a lot of that out there. So a portion of her income, of course, goes to this cause, as well as her dedicated love and energy. Leslie was born in the U.S. and currently, for about 15 years, I believe, has been residing in Vancouver, British Columbia. Well, beloved listeners, I am so excited to introduce you to the wonderful Leslie Fenner. Leslie, hello, hello.
Hello. Boy, that was quite the introduction. That was very good.
Well, you've been a busy woman. That's for sure. Now, you know, not too many people will pick up in the midst of the peak of a career, 20 years, and just on a roll, and go off to Bhutan. What inspired you to go there? Leslie? Ah, welcome back, beloved listeners, and Leslie, the fun of technology.
Yes.
So we were checking in with you about what inspired you to go. Is it pronounced Bhutan?
It is Bhutan. Have you heard of Bhutan before?
Casually in conversation. This is opening my eyes to really knowing more about it, so would love to get a little bit of why you went and what is Bhutan like?
Well, Matt Lauer recently, Where in the World is Matt Lauer, recently did a piece on Bhutan. But Bhutan is considered to be the last Shangri-La on Earth, in that what it is to what a lot of people, to what Tibet used to be to years ago before the Chinese invaded, as a very sacred and magical place on the earth. And in the book, I say that my teacher who instructed me to go to Bhutan said, everybody must eventually go to Bhutan for purification. It's a really magical, magical country. And it was a real honor and a privilege to be there. As if you go to Bhutan, you pay $250 a day just to be there. So it was a real privilege for me to actually live there.
Oh, wow. Wow. And that says a lot to understand that there is still this quality of energy left and available. And then you said that you were basically instructed to go there by your spiritual teacher?
He's my mentor and was my mentor. And actually, I thought he was kidding, because I thought, how can I just pack up and, you know, leave my family, my life, my world, I was really attached to my career, and do what? I thought he was totally kidding. But for many people, when they follow or listen to someone, they trust in their wisdom. And so I was intrigued also by the adventure and the stories that I'd heard, that magic grows in the ground in this magical place. And I was really intrigued. So I organized my life and spent 6 months organizing my life, and went in complete trust and faith, not knowing anything. So it was an incredible adventure.
Oh, wow. Now, help me. I've got an idea, but I'd like for myself and my listeners to kind of get the idea of exactly globally where this is.
Well, if people know where India is on the map and where Nepal and Tibet is on the map, then Bhutan is this little country that's right in the mountains. There's no flat land in Bhutan at all. It's a total mountainous country. And it's this little country that's tucked away in between India, Nepal, and it's tucked away right in there. So if you were to look at it onto a map, Sikkim, which was also a kingdom in India, but which is no longer a kingdom because India took over that, it's right next to that. So it's just nestled in this mountainous country.
Does
that give you a good description of where it's at?
Yeah, that really helps a lot. Now you went off not just as a tourist, to go visit the place, which I guess that in and of itself would be something worth doing from the way you're describing it. You had a mission.
Yeah, as a corporate executive, I must say that I had quite the ego. I was very successful and had run large international sales teams, and I think I went really to dismantle my ego a little bit in the fact of it was a very humbling experience because I went to go to live in the monastery and teach. I was the only woman to live there. And I'd never taught English before. I'd been a vice president of sales organizations. But I went to teach them English in this tiny, tiny, it was like the edge of the world. It was like you sent me to the, I felt like I was at the end of the earth. In this remote hilltop village with no electricity, no hot showers, no showers, no flush toilets, rice three times a day, no fax, no email, no telephones, and no communication with the outside world. It was basically like living in a cave.
Well, stepping back in time, huh?
Yeah, it was. I felt like I was going back 100 years in time.
Oh, wow. So
fascinating, though.
Yeah. Well, to me, that, talk about faith and courage. I mean, there you are, height of a career, and in a place of really strength and power, and especially in a planet where feminine energy has been so suppressed or abused for so long. And there you had carved a strong niche for yourself and had asserted yourself in a very competitive business arena, international in scope. Wow, what a shift.
It was a shift. It was a total shift. It was, in a way, I think, as the beginning of the book, I say I walked to the edge of the cliff and jumped. And that's really what it was about. It was having the courage to jump off the cliff in life, to really to explore the inner world of what is true and what is real.
Okay. Not just the external world of business and international trade, but there's actually an inner world, huh?
I believe it's the last frontier.
So we don't have to get on the Starship Enterprise to visit this amazing place.
No, I don't think so. There is in the stillness. It's in a place where there's complete stillness and no electricity, the absence of the world that we know it. It was really, I felt like I had gone to another planet, because Bhutan was like being on another planet, because I was removed from everything that I knew without electricity or the food or, any of that. But it really was going on an inner journey to the inner world of the vast richness that's within all of us.
Oh boy, talk about a place worth visiting. There's an old rock and roll song from many years ago. I have to look up the artist, but anyway, the lyrics go: as a world traveler, I've been to Paris, I've been to London, I've been to this place, that place, but I've never been to me.
Mm.
And
that's
so here
the best place to go.
Yeah. And talk about doing it in an amazing setting. I mean, there you were. I don't know how many in the monastery. You were the only woman in a monastery with, I guess, some number of monks. That has to be amazing.
It was, because they couldn't, you know, they didn't really speak English. I went there to teach them English, so I couldn't really even communicate other than just to keep my heart open and communicate them with just, you know, the depth of warmth, you know, because there was no verbal communication. But it was a really beautiful experience in our attempt to communicate with each other in a nonverbal kind of way. But, that in itself was a wonderful experience, because there we have this preconceived idea that monks are somehow subhuman or different from the rest of us, but they're human beings, and they're still men underneath those burgundy and saffron robes.
Uh-huh.
Even though they're monks, they're still men. They're still people with emotions, and they taught me a lot about humanity.
Oh, wow. Can you share a couple of things that perhaps that really you felt were great gifts? Oh, Leslie? Oh, goodness. Amazing phone connection appears.
This land is your land.
Join us every Tuesday
from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern
on The People Speak with host Basma Farhat,
as she interviews guests from the realms of politics.
Hi, everybody. This is Senior Seaver, and you're listening to Dr. Bell. Well, I forgot to say who I am. Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, keep that, Don. Be sure and keep that in there. I like those improvs. Yeah, go ahead. Especially with a laugh and all that.
Yeah. Who am I? I just forgot.
Hi, this is independent producer-composer Nelson Ortez. Looking to get away from the same old stuff you hear every day? To get a fresh new sound? And BBS Radio is where it's at. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com.
And patience.
Yes. So, So in case this were to happen again, we will know that we will be back shortly. And in the meantime, feel free to go deep into that silence and that space within you and begin to connect to that divine goodness that already resides there. You may have been out of touch with it for a while, but my gosh, we know it's still there. Spiritual leaders throughout the ages have kept telling us that. So if it's not obvious at first, just kind of look around, turn over a few leaves here or there, and then when you find that true beauty, just yell out, call us in, let us know. We're so happy to hear from you. Just tune into BBS Radio, and the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. And getting back, Leslie, you were talking about being in a monastery, and with you were the only woman with a bunch of monks, and that that while they're very spiritual beings, that you saw that they were men and had emotions, and then I guess it was just an awakening for you.
Right. I think sometimes we forget, not just necessarily with monks, but with all of us, we forget our humanness, and we're so quick to think that somehow we're different from each other, when in fact we're really all very much the same and interconnected with each other. And I think that's probably, even though I was the only woman to be living among all these monks, it was really brought home to my own humanness and my interconnection that we're all really interconnected to each other and that we're really no different from each other. But we forget that. We forget that in our day-to-day lives because we're so busy.
Yeah. Now, I have not been in the position you were in the corporate world. As a high-powered executive, upper management individual, and especially involved in something competitive with sales, was there much of that energy of relating to the humanness of the people around you, the potential clients, the competitors? I don't know how much of that was available in your work.
Well, you know, when I first got to the monastery, it was pretty difficult to let go of that. I mean, I was supposed to teach them, but yet they had pujas, which are prayers to do.
Yeah.
So I really kind of tried to push them around and keep them on a schedule because I was so used to making things happen in the corporate world that somehow I wanted to maintain that and manage the monks. So, you know, by golly, they were going to learn English.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're so driven.
Oh.
But it's quite funny when I look back on it now that, yes, I had to let all of that go and just accept everything as it is.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so now that sounds like one of the things that you learned on that path. I'm wondering what other gems that you could share, because so many of us are involved in the modern world and business and commerce and competition and fast paced and get it done.
I think if we were to just if everybody was to remember to breathe, I think we live in such a fast paced, chaotic life that people are coming home from work and they're frustrated even over traffic. And they get frustrated because they're so wound up from their day and their minds are so busy that we forget simply to breathe. And if everybody could just simply take in a few deep breaths, bring themselves back into the moment, you would begin to bring peace back into your life with the simple practice of breath. And even if people, when they were driving in their cars, breathed in deeply and then breathed out, and just to remember, where am I in this moment? I'm now driving my car. I'm now holding on to my steering wheel. Because people's minds are so busy that we've forgotten just to be in the moment.
Yes. Okay.
Breath.
Yeah.
If only we remember to take 21 deep breaths.
Ah, something about 21 that's special?
Well, 21, everybody says 10 deep breaths, but it doesn't really center you. But if you, people really were just to stand up straight or just to bring themselves back into the moment and breathe deeply in and out for 21 times, you really start to bring yourself back into the moment. 10 breaths won't do it. We need a little bit longer to center ourselves. When I first started to learn the practice of becoming centered, my teacher said to me, well, he said, just practice for 2 minutes every day. You know, like when you're brushing your teeth, just be present with brushing your teeth. That starts to infiltrate and bring peace into people's lives.
Yes. Now, this may sound a little silly, but when you're being present with that activity or when you've done that, what was that like? I didn't know if you saw things, if you talked to yourself, if feelings came up. Can you give a little more detail to that?
About just being present and breathing?
Being present, especially just that, I mean, with that experience of brushing your teeth or some other example, so that it can kind of get an idea of some of the detail that being present means when you're doing certain
what
things.
What that means. Okay. Well, being in the monastery, when I first got there, my mind was really busy coming off an executive position like I had. But slowly in time, as you learn to slow down the mind, you have to begin to implement a practice in your life of something that you do every day that you can be consistent with. So that's why I say do the toothbrush meditation. When we got up in the morning and we brushed our teeth, that we were just aware and present with brushing our teeth. Because even though it sounds really simple and silly, it's a practice that we can do to bring awareness into our lives. So that throughout the day, as our lives are busy and chaotic, we can remember to bring ourselves back into the moment when we remember in the morning we just brushed our teeth and we're present with that. So we can just continually bring ourselves back by breath and bringing ourselves back into the moment. We help to bring ease and flow back into our lives.
Mm.
Did that make sense, Ken?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, to me, sometimes I've kind of reverted to what I consider to be a little bit of a childlike approach. I will sometimes in that process talk to my teeth. Of course, I'm doing this with internal dialogue, because if you try to speak out loud while you're brushing your teeth, it's pretty comical. Hello, here, you ready for the brushing? Okay, how about the one next to you, your friend over there, you ready? And I will just kind of make it at times a playful act, or talk in my mind about, okay, well, I'm flossing now, and here we go, sliding down in that little crack there, and feel that on the gum, woo!
Yeah, whatever it takes to bring you into the moment. I mean, if we as society could just come out of the past or out of the future and into the moment, things would slowly begin to change.
Yeah.
People's minds are so busy. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, well, now that you mention it, I mean, a person is doing a particular task, and with the demands and this idea of multitasking, okay, well, brushing my teeth, planning my schedule, checking out 15 different things in my mind, and maybe even talking to someone else or nodding to someone who's carrying on a conversation with me, and it's like, wow, that's pretty much sensory overwhelm in terms of how can a person be present with themselves when they're spread so thin.
Right. I don't believe in multitasking, and the workshops that I've done in the corporate world last year, I really discourage people from doing multitasking because they're not present. You can only be present with one thing at a time. And if you're trying to do two things at a time, you're not present. So I believe that each of us should just do one thing at a time, complete the task, and do the next task. Because otherwise we have this sense and feeling of being overwhelmed. And by doing one task at a time, we eliminate that overwhelmed feeling.
Oh, boy. How's that for a gem, my beloved listeners? Simple as it sounds, do one thing at a time and notice the difference in how you feel. Too many things to do, overwhelmed? Okay. One thing at a time. How do you take on a monumental task like building the Great Wall of China? One brick at a time, one stone at a time.
Right. And to be present with that task. Just be, even if we were just present with that one task, I mean, without thinking about what we have to do next, just being present with what is in this moment.
Mm. Yes. To me, as you were saying that and speaking of that, my mind was thinking of what that meant. If I'm present with a task, then what impact does that have on the act of being present with myself? And then beyond that, I started to kind of take that outward again, and I said, well, if I'm more present with myself and how I'm feeling and what's loving and what's righteous and good, what does that have to, how does that have implications on my external world and how I treat others and how others treat others and on a more global scale? It would seem, you know, probably a lot of people must not be present based on the things that they're doing to each other. Anyway, so that's where my mind was wandering off to, those implications of how important, how beautiful it is when we're present with one task, and how that could really be life-changing for us and globally.
Absolutely. Well, we all know what it's like when we're listened to. I mean, when we're really listened to, we all know what that feels like. It feels pretty darn good.
Oh.
But when somebody's not listening to us because they're doing so many other things, we know what that feels like too. So if we started to be more compassionate with each other, and we, each individual person, just made an attempt just to change their own life, it would have a rippling effect on others.
Yes, that makes perfect sense to me. And so that was one of the lessons that you learned there in the monastery.
I learned a lot. I mean, I think, you know, I really learned how to be. And the great thing about the book is it's quite funny because I was a little bit of a modern-day princess. I went over there with 6 hockey bags full of nail polish and Armani suits and, you know. And it's funny because I look back on it and think, what is really important is just simply to be and accept our humanness and to live a life in the moment. That's where the real joy and juice is.
Yeah, but isn't that a strain on the budget?
What's a strain on the budget?
I'm being facetious.
Okay.
It's when there's that old song that has lyrics that say the best things in life are free.
Oh, well, isn't that the truth?
And
I mean, what's greater than love for yourself and love for others? I mean, there's really nothing sweeter than that, is there?
No.
That's like the sweetest thing.
Oh.
When you feel loved by someone and they love you, and it could be your buddy, your friend, whoever, but that's the sweetest thing. I mean, we're so caught up in a materialistic world that there's no juice or richness in that. Those are just things.
Yes, yes. And to connect,
they don't bring you joy.
Temporary at best. And oftentimes enhanced or accessed through the use of chemicals or substances instead of using our own inner pharmacy.
Right.
Now, on your website, so that people can find you, that's www.LeslieJFenner, LeslieJFenner.com. Is that correct?
Correct.
Oh, good. Okay, and just a brief diversion from our conversation. Now, can they get a hold of this wonderful book glimpses of the light so that they can learn to take a spiritual pilgrimage as they walk along your journey?
Sure. They can buy the book at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com, Glimpses of the Light. You just go into amazon.com and put in Glimpses of the Light. They can purchase the book online, too, if it's easier for them.
Okay. Either way, and then they can learn more about you and programs that you offer. Now, you're willing to go out and do seminars, be a keynote speaker. Do you do any individual or personal coaching?
I have done that in the past. I have, but to be really honest with you, I will work with people if they really want to grow. They have to be ready. And I have done some work in the past, and I know that sounds kind of funny, but I think that you have to be ready, and a lot of people you know when you're ready, and those are the people that I really love working with. But for those who are not ready, then I would request that they take some time to just look within. I mean, the spiritual path is one that you have to be willing to walk in it.
Mm. You mean you just can't say you want to? You actually have to do something?
Well, you can say it, but I think it's designed for the few who are courageous to risk, willing to shed their ego. I think you have to be courageous.
Yes. Well, what happens, you can speak from a place of both the massive ego of a high-power businesswoman and now someone that's gone on this spiritual quest. Any hints on how to both be effective in the world, in a business world, and yet keep that ego in check? What could you help to share with us about that?
You know, I think that people, no matter if you're the president of the United States or you are serving coffee at Starbucks, they're no different. They're the same. But I think if people really are authentic and can begin to just be, you know, authentic with themselves and harmless, that those are really, you know, authenticity and harmlessness are really the key. Because everybody just wants to connect with each other. But we feel separate because we're disconnected from ourselves. So I think it begins as we begin to connect with ourselves. And I think that begins when we look within and connect our heart, our mind, and our spirit. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. So that's... if I'm understanding, by taking that time to make some of that inner journey, to be actually set aside time to be quiet and still with ourselves, and I guess just whatever, whether it's the breathing or the contemplation or meditation, that begins to shift our relationship with our ego. Is that what you were in?
Right, coming home to our humanness, really. And then we begin to lighten up on ourselves a bit, too, and life gets easier. But even if people just take 2 minutes every day, you know, either they're present when they're brushing their teeth or when they're going to the toilet, they were just, like, aware in the moment that being present with yourself, that has such an impact and begins to spill over into your life. If people just for 2 minutes every day breathed in and out 21 times and just focused on being with themselves, it creates an opening of expansion. And I believe everybody wants to expand themselves. But just like we do the work to be successful in the external world, as I was in the corporate world, I also had to learn how to expand my inner world, and that took the same amount of work, commitment, and discipline. The way to expand ourselves is making the commitment to spend time coming home to our humanness And that begins by breathing and being present.
Well, I think that's beautiful. And you know, basically, we're going to be breathing all the time. It's part of the program of being here in human form. And what you're saying is to take and add a dimension of mindfulness, of awareness to that, which is kind of a little bit, I'm maybe leading in a bit to this thing that you call developing your seventh sense.
Right. You know, we all breathe, but how many of us are conscious of our breathing? We take it for granted. So if we did conscious breathing, a mindful breathing, that we do begin to create this expansion within ourselves. And to me, the seventh sense is that when you expand yourself, your intuition is heightened and things begin to open and you begin to see things more clearly and you're able to, you know, Christopher Columbus told us that the world wasn't flat. And for many years, people believed that it was. Well, I believe there's a whole other realm that they can enter if people are willing to go there. That is so beyond what we know right now. But people need to take the time and the discipline to do the work to expand themselves beyond this whole other realm that's accessible to us.
Wow. Talk about a journey. And anyone can fit that into their budget, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
All you have to do is find a space in your house where you can go and commit to working with your mind and come home to your humanness. Give yourself the gift to expand yourself. Everybody wants, you know, The Secret was great because it opened people up. But I do believe that people want to expand. And what is the next step? How do you expand yourself? You begin by being present with yourself, by breathing in deeply, and just know to be with yourself and be present with the moment. You begin to take the steps to create expansion in your life.
Okay. Well, to me, that may be an answer that you're giving to some of the queries that I've received. The lessons in some of the spiritual teachers in the movie The Secret, in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, talking about directing our inner experience to whatever it is that we desire and claiming it. Biblically, there's this thing that's written that says, whatever you ask for, believing is already yours, will be given unto you. And that's certainly simple to say in words, and yet to actually achieve that, for most folks, you know, it's got to be a challenge. If it weren't a challenge, the world we'd live in would be much different. So here, as I'm listening to you, Leslie, I feel like there's been given a key to a missing piece of what it takes to go from where we're at to being able to put that time and energy into enjoying in advance of having things that we want, is that step to first become present with ourselves, with that gift of 2 minutes or those 21 breaths that you speak about.
That's the starting point. And that's the starting point. We have to have a tool to take us there. And this is a tool that will take you there. There's no religion or anything associated with. It's just coming home to you, coming home to your humanness. If you can be present with yourself and implement this practice, discipline, this tool into your life, then you'll be able to become present with others, and things begin to open and change. Because when you're centered and calm and you're present, you're clear. There's no more confusion or doubt about who you are. Your insecurities drop away. Your confidence is heightened. You begin to really know who you are, and then your life begins to unfold. But first you have to come home to your humanness. And that begins by taking the time to be with yourself, with the conscious act and just like people say they're going to work out or brush their teeth, they do it because it's a discipline. I just say, come home to your humanness, breathe 21 times, and know that that's what you're doing. Make the intention that you're going to come home to yourself and be present for 2 minutes every day.
Mm. Well, we've got 1,440 minutes each day.
You think we can spare two?
So I think I could squeeze out a couple there.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, well, I'm going to commit to that. I know I've done a number of positive things, and yet here's something that I haven't done deliberately, is to just take that time to be present. As you were talking, and I was thinking about that, some thoughts were coming up about, one, what a gift. I'm breathing in this energy of life that sustains me, and it's like, wow, that's so nice. And I was feeling this gratitude for that, and from that gratitude, the door was opening to this reality of a connectedness that is always there with Source. The spiritual teachings mostly say, just whether it's Christ or other teachings, that the divine is already within us, that it's not something that we can go look for somewhere else. It's already there, so we can't get away from it if we wanted to. It's a full part of life, but to recognize it and to call that forth as a living part of our day, there's a phrase that says, with God on your side, who can be against you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I want to invite...
You know, I think this is probably an ancient teaching that somehow got lost. But I think it's really that when we come home to our humanness and we're present, then there's this overwhelming connection of love that we tap into, that is beyond. I believe that there is a parallel universe, and when we tap into that, it's accessible to us all the time. And that if everybody just began to practice for 2 minutes every day, we could change things. We could shift things. Not just for ourselves, but for each other. So it's sort of if you think of a circle, it's a cycle that as we're doing it, you know, with intention, not only are we serving ourselves, we're serving others.
Yeah. Yes. So by being good to ourselves, we're actually giving a gift to others.
Absolutely.
And then if you happen to be around someone that's giving themselves that gift, then wow. You've got this circle of love energy that's flowing within and external connecting, and we don't even have to be in the same room with people, do we, to share that energy?
No, it just makes us a little bit softer, and I think it would, you know, it makes us a little bit more gentle. Part of the book is also about, you know, the rising of the feminine in the 21st century, because it was the change. I mean, one was about masculinity, and 2000 changed. It became two, and it's about partnership. And I think we need to have partnership with ourselves first. I think it starts there.
There's lyrics to an old song that says, be your own best friend.
Yeah. And then you can be somebody else's.
Yeah. Biblically, Christ invited us to love our neighbor as we would ourselves, and I've comically mused to myself, well, geez, I better be good at loving myself, because if I'm not good to myself, then what am I going to give to my neighbor?
Right. But I also think we need some new words, you know. I think we need some new words that are 21st century words. I think we need a new language, that people want to hear some new language. And that's why I am trying to give a different language of coming home to yourself, coming home to your humanness. Because I think people, first and foremost, You know, people want to know how they can improve. And then slowly, as they learn how to improve, then their intention goes, okay, how can I help others? But this is the first part, I think, in, you know, in the step-by-step process is, you know, yes, we need to do good for others, but we need to develop our own awareness and consciousness first.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, Ken?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the keys that is so important. And you're delivering that message powerfully in your book, Glimpses of Light, which people can find more detail about that at www.lesliejfenner.com, LesliejFenner.com. I guess there's contact information on there also for people if they want to email or phone you. I don't know if we want to give out any of that other information. We can certainly do that if you'd like.
Email's great, and I will respond. I'll respond to the emails. I'd be happy to respond to any emails.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would be to Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, at LeslieJFenner.com.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Great. And then are you planning on doing, like, regular seminars that people would attend, or is most of this, like, corporate things that you're doing with different clients?
Right now I'm working in the corporate world, and I'm just starting to, doing that. I'm in the process of also making a CD on breath and meditation and explaining this very simple to people if they're interested in getting started and taking the next step in the evolution of themselves and the evolution of mankind. Because I do believe that people do want to take the next step. So I'm in the process of coming out with my next CD to explain that to people very, very simply. And that will be available soon.
Ah, now, that's great. Now, I'm curious. I didn't know if you've been back in doing the corporate work, because your track record prior was excellent achievement with demanding things like building sales teams to way overachieve. Now, are you going to be involved in any coaching in which there'd be some of these measurable, trackable results, working with sales teams again in using some of the new approach that you've learned?
Well, I work one contract at a time, because I do one thing at a time. I with writing and the speaking and all of this. I worked with the sales team last year, and their productivity went up 40%. It was the most powerful work I've ever done. But I did go in and just worked with one company last year. I can't mention the name, but they had really phenomenal results. Some of the comments are posted on the website. But they found that when they learned how to be fully present, that everything in their life changed. Their family relationships changed. Their work experience changed. Their productivity went up. They got out of depression. I mean, it's amazing. It was incredible work. I absolutely love working with people. Because I think if people really want to learn this information. So right now my work is with sales teams in the corporate world, and maybe public seminars will come. We'll see what life delivers.
Sure. Well, there's another Canadian that you've probably heard of, T. Harv Eker.
Right.
And I've attended a couple of his things, and of course it's high power, high energy, and as in talking to you, if I was talking to Harv here, I would give him your phone number and have him call you so he could experience your other approach to achieving the results that he's interested in getting for people using a little different vehicle.
I actually teach people how to meditate with the work, because I believe when people are totally centered, calm, and present, their results just go through the roof. Things change. I take a totally different approach. You still have to do the work. But I teach them to come at it from a more grounded, centered, aware, in the present approach.
Wow.
And they're much happier, less stressed, their insomnia goes away, their depression goes away. It just, I find it more holistic. It just seems to make more sense to me.
Sure.
And it's working.
I can tell.
So it's working.
Beloved listeners, when go right to her website, LeslieJFenner.com. Get her book, Glimpses of the Light. Behold, the sparkle in her eyes that has come from doing an amazing spiritual pilgrimage that took great courage, and yet learn from her something simple, this 2 minutes a day, this 21 breaths, to open up your pathways to more creativity and more inner peace. Leslie, this is what a treat. What a treat. I am so grateful for your presence in my life. You're speaking to the listeners of my program. I am just grateful and blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. And wish you a wonderful week. And my beloved listeners, invite you to go to bbsradio.com and look at the Advanced Living Hour there for upcoming guests. We'll have more fun and adventure for you to bless your lives and just to give yourself some quality time in the midst of a busy week, a little Saturday afternoon interlude for you. In the meantime, thank you, Leslie. Thank you, my beloved listeners. Call forth a blessing of divine goodness upon us all and wish you just a blessed, happy, happy week. Thank you, and goodbye for now.
Bye, Ken.
Let go.